We're holding on Lamed Beis, Amud Beis, 13 lines from the bottom. Line begins, Boy Kazayas. We discussed that there was a machlokes abashol on the Chachamim about if a person eats truma, how what's the minimum with eats b'shogeg, and the pasuk says then that he has to pay keren v'chomesh. What's the minimum amount that he has to eat to be chayev? So we said the Tanakhama had said it has to be at least a kazayis. Abashol said it has to be at least a pruta. And we discussed, does that mean that Abashol would say that needs to be both, at least a kazayis in size and at least a pruta in value? Or is Abashol saying that it's enough, that if it's enough that it's worth a pruta, even though it's smaller than a kazayis? So we said that Rav Papa had wanted to explain that Abashol means that you need both the kazayis and the pruta. However, then the Gemara brought a brisa that where we said that not, where Abashol and the Chachamim discussed this point, and it comes out clearly from what they say over there, that from the Lashon of the Chachamim over there, that Abashol doesn't care about whether it's a Kazayas or not. All he cares about is whether it's worth a Pruta. So we slugged up Rav Papa, and we say that Abashol would in fact require it to be both. It's not enough according to him that it's a Kazayas like the Chachamim. It also needs to be worth a Pruta. So the Gemara says, after Rav Papa Hadebe, we see actually in the end that Rav Papa himself changed his mind and said that Abashol doesn't say you need both. Maybe it was based on that Tiyuvta, maybe it was based on some other consideration, whatever it was, Rav Papa changed his mind and understood Abashol differently. And we know that we'll have a discussion over here based on another Braisa and based on a discussion of Amiroyim on it. And then at the end, we'll see where we see from that Rav Papa changed his mind. So Tanya, we learned in a Braisa regarding the din of Me'ila. So person is Moyal Behektish. So if he does it b'mezid, then we're going to discuss soon what the penalty for it is. We're going to have a machlokas on that. If he does it b'shoigig, and usually in Shas, when we talk about somebody doing me'ila, we're usually talking about b'shoigig because that's when the special din of a me'ila kick in. Similar to the way we say with eating truma, that if a person eats truma b'mezid, then there's not really that much to talk about because he's just a regular mazik. And he just pays like any other mazik would. Only if he eats b'shogeg do we talk about the special rules. It's similarly with me'ila, that only if he does me'ila b'mezid, that only if he does b'shogeg rather, do the special dinim kick in, where he has to pay keren v'chomesh and bring a korban asham. So usually in Shas, when we say me'ila, we usually mean b'shogeg. So the Braisa says, when the posuk says about me'ila v'chota b'shgoga, that the person sins b'shgoga, b'shogeg, inadvertently means prat l'mezid, as opposed to if he did it b'mezid, then he wouldn't be bringing the korban. So the question is, why do we need the pasuk? V'aloi dinhu, can't we make a kavah chomer to know that without needing the limud from the pasuk? Uma shar mitzvah shechaya behen kodesh, madach other mitzvahs, where, for example, chaylev and dam, where a person is chayev kodesh for doing them, and yet we know a person brings a korban for them only if he doesn't b'shogeg. A person doesn't bring a korban chatas if he eats chaylev b'mezid or eats dam b'mezid, even though those things are chayev kodesh. Me'ila she'en b'kodesh, maybe me'ila which is not chayev kodesh. So then, me'ila she'en b'kodesh ain't a din shepotar as amazed. So shouldn't it be a kavachomer then that me'ila, which is less stringent than those, that you shouldn't have to bring a korban if you did it b'mezid? Okay, Tosfos asked the question. Why don't we say that's just it? Because me'ila is less stringent than those, then therefore we want to be able to have the guy get a kapara even if it's b'mezid. Okay, Tosfos says that anyway. The Gemara is anyway going to explain this braisa, and we're anyway going to give a different limud. We're anyway going to point out that's not a valid kavachomer anyway. So then we don't care so much if we have another way of slugging up the kavachomer, because anyway we're going to have a different way. So therefore, so the braisa continues. Loi, no, that's not a valid kavachomer, because you could say ima marta b'shar mitzvahs. You could say, you know why with other mitzvahs such as chaylev and dam you don't bring a korban if you do them b'mezid. Because after all, with the other mitzvahs, there's no chi of misa b'dei shemayim. Toma b'me'ila shechayev b'misa. How do you compare that to me'ila where you have a chiyuv misa b'dei shemayim? So therefore, it's not a valid kavachom. Now, the Gemara is going to ask in a second what's going on over here. First, we're thinking that kodesh is more stringent, and then we're thinking misa b'dei shemayim is more stringent. What's going on over here? So therefore, so it's not a valid kavachomer, and therefore tamad leimer b'shigoga prat b'mezid. Therefore, we need the pasuk to tell us b'shigoga that you don't bring the korban, that you don't bring the korban me'ila if you do it b'mezid. And continues the Gemara. V'omalei Rav Nachman ben Yitzchok l'Rav Chiya ba Oven. So Rav Nachman ben Yitzchok asks Rav Chiya ba Oven, what's going on in this b'raisa? Hai tana me'ikra alima le kores. First, the Tana is assuming that kores is more stringent than anything else because he's asking. That first he's saying that Me'ila is less stringent than Chelev and Dam because it doesn't have Kodesh, whereas they do. Then in the end, it's saying the other way around, that Me'ila is more stringent because it has Misa, whereas they don't. Although Seif Alimele Misa. Later on, he seems to be saying that in that Misa B'dei Shemayim is stronger. So what's going on over here? So now, what is the actual difference? So there's a few different opinions of Rishonim what the actual difference is between Kodesh and Misa B'dei Shemayim. One possibility is it has to do with the age when the person dies. There's different opinions exactly that Kodesh, which one is, one of them is 50, one of them is 60. So you have that. There's also Rashi in some places mentions that Kodesh involves Zarei Nechrosin, that is children get cut off also. The Pashtus, we're talking about small children where they don't have schusim and where they don't have schusim of their own. And we learned in Masechta Shabbos that Rahman al-Tzlan, a person can be punished through their small children. But Pashtus, we're not talking about older children when they're already of age themselves, because one person doesn't get punished for another's avedus. On the other hand, not everybody agrees with that kores means zarei nechrosin. There's also an idea that somebody showed him say that maybe Misa B'dei Shemayim has a certain chumrah over kores, in that maybe with Misa B'dei Shemayim, not only the person himself dies young, but also his nechosim get lost and destroyed and whatever, as opposed to kores just affects him himself. Anyway, the point is that in the Braisa, so what are we saying? Is kores more stringent or is Misa B'dei Shemayim more stringent? So asked of Nachmet. V'amalei, so Rav Chiya ba'oven answers him, hachi karmar, this is what the braisa means. Loi, when it's slugging up the kavachomer, loi, ima marta b'shar mitzvahs, you can say when you're talking about other mitzvahs that you don't bring a korban if you do it b'mezid, shekein l'chiya b'han misa b'pochas mikazayas, because by those, you don't have a chiya of misa if you eat less than a kazayas of chaylev or dam or what have you, then there's no penalty. You have a machloikas elsewhere in the Gemara, whether chatzit shir, osim in a Torah or not. The halacha is that it is, but if there's still no chiyuv misa or b'shogig korban, toma b'me'ila shechiyuv misa b'pochas mikazayas. So how do you compare it with me'ila where there's a chiyuv misa for even less than a kazayas? In other words, Rav Chiya ba'oven says, when the Braisa said shekein loy chia behen misa and shechia behen misa about the other, about chelev and dam versus me'ila, we don't mean that there's no chia of misa by those at all, no chia of misa b'dei shemayim versus by me'ila there is. We mean that by those, there's no way a person gets kores or misa or anything, even if what he ate is less than a kazayas. Whereas by me'ila, you can have, there can be a chia of misa even for less than a kazayas. V'amale, So Rav Nachman says to Chiba Oven, thank you. Tanuach daitcha, may your mind be at ease. She nachter as daiti, because you made my mind at ease. You answered me. I didn't understand this, but I said now I understand it. But then Rav Chiya ba'oven tells him, my nechusa, what makes you think that this is so good, that this is such a good answer? You should know. Yes, I gave you this answer, but you should realize the Rabbah and Rav Sheshes shodur be'nauga. Rabbah and Rav Sheshes chopped it down with an axe. In other words, they pointed out that this answer that the Braisa is really referring to more than a kazayas versus less than a kazayas isn't going to work. Why not? Because man shamat lay da'omai hizid b'me'ila b'misa, which Tana do we find b'chlal that says that there's a concept of me'ila, of misa b'dei shemayim if a person does me'ila b'mezid? Like this, not everybody agrees to that. You have that's what we're gonna say. The Tanya, the Dama Hizid b'Me'ila b'Misa. Rebbe, the Tanya Hizid b'Me'ila. Rebbe Omer b'Misa v'Chum Omer b'Azhara. Rebbe says that if a person does Me'ila b'Mezid, he's Chayev Misa b'Dei Shemayim. The Chum said there's no Misa b'Dei Shemayim involved. There's only a Lav. So the now, where is Rebbe learning it from? My time of the Rebbe, Omer Rabba Bohu Gama Chet Chet Mitruma. He, because he's learning on Xera Shava from the word chet regarding truma. By Me'ila, the expression is v'chata b'shgoga. By truma lo yisu al of chet, and by truma it clearly continues that there's misa b'deshamayim umesu boy. So we learn by Xera Shava says Rebbe that Me'ila also, if he does it b'mezid, is chayv misa b'deshamayim. So mat truma b'misa, af me'ila b'misa. So therefore, truma is chayev misa, and so is me'ila. So therefore, now, if we're going to learn from truma, u'mina, then we have to continue learning from truma, and we would say mat truma b'kazayis, af me'ila b'kazayis. That, just like truma, you have to eat a kazayis in order to be chayev, the same way me'ila would have to be a kazayis. So this braisa that we just quoted, if we're going to say that it's talking about misa for me'ila, then it has to be that it's according to Rebbe. And according to Rebbe, a person is only chayev misa for me'ila b'mezid if he ate a kazayis. So then in that case, me'ila is exactly like chaylev and dam as far as the kazayis. So how can you find for the braisa and say that it's saying that chaylev and dam you chayev only for a kazayis, but me'ila you chayev for less than a kazayis? The braisa wouldn't work that way. Why do the chachamim not learn from truma? Rashi points out the chachamim do agree with this gzeira shava from the word chet. In fact, there are a number of dinim of me'ila that we learn from truma through this gzeira shava. In fact, also that's where we learn the actual lav not to do me'ila in the first place, because you have the rule loy onash elim kein hizu. You can't have a punishment unless there was a warning someplace else in the Torah. But the chachamim also say that's true. You do learn a gzeira shava from truma. And from that, you learn a lot of dinim about me'ila. However, when it comes to the misa, the expression by truma is umesu voy ki yichalalu. So the voy is a mute. Only by it, truma, is there misa, by me'ila not. So the chachamim will agree with the gzeira shava, but they'll disagree with that point. So according to the chachamim, in other words, the braisa that we just quoted will not work according to the chachamim at all, because when the braisa continues, that other mitzvahs, there's no chiyuv misa, and me'ila there is, whether more than a kazayis, whether less than a kazayis, the chachamim will say there's never a chiyuv misa for me'ila. It's only Rebbe who does. And Rebbe, we see, is learning from truma throughout. So therefore, it would have to be a kazayis. So that answer doesn't work.
How does Rebbe interpret the voy?
How does Rebbe interpret the voy? I'm not sure, actually. Rashi doesn't mention it over here. Whatever the case, Rebbe holds that when you're learning the Gzeira Shava, you have to learn it all the way through. He would still have to do something with the boy. It's true. I don't know. I didn't look up what the Gemara says. What Rebbe would do with that boy. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. I don't know. Anyway. The point is, therefore, this braisa can't work then, neither according to the chacham nor according to Rebbe. So now comes the part relevant to us, or relevant to our Gemara, umaskif la rapapa. So now rapapa said, so what's the problem? Mimai de Rebbe kirabonan svirale. Who says that Rebbe holds like the rabbonan that you only need a kazayas and nothing more? Dilma ka abba shol svirle. Maybe he holds like abba shol da ama yesh bashava pruta afagav de lesbe kazayas. Maybe he would say that it's enough if the me'ila, that it's enough by truma, and therefore also by me'ila, that you don't need a kazayas, all you need is a pruta. Ila, there is a minimum amount, but it's not a kazayis, it's rather a pruta. And in fact, Abba Shol would say the same thing by truma as well. A person is only chayev what we would say is that Abba Shol would say, in other words, that Abba Shol would agree that when it comes to truma, a person is chayev. Abba Shol would say like this. this that a person eats truma b'shoigig and he's paying for it, kerem d'chomesh, applies even if it's a pruta. And as we said yesterday, a pruta doesn't necessarily have to be a kazayas. It could be even less than a kazayas, like in a year of famine. So therefore, Sa'aba Shoal would be saying a person could be chayev nisa for truma even if he eats less than a kazayas. By the same token, or not a kazayas, yeah, even if it's less than a kazayas, as long as it's the pruta. By the same token, he would say the same thing as far as me'ila. So maybe therefore we could make the b'raisa work after all, says Rav Papa. Now, how does this contradict what Rav Papa said before? Rav Papa himself is the one who said before that Abba Shoal would require you to that Abba Shoal would require you it to be both a kazayas and a pruta in order to be chayev to pay for truma. And now all of a sudden he's saying that Abba Shoal says you only need one. So there you see that Rav Papa changed his mind and agreed with that, whether based on how we shlugged him up before, whether based on something else, that in fact Abba Shoal says that to be chayev it only needs to be a pruta. We don't care about the size of it, whether it's a kazayas or less than a kazayas. So therefore, so fine. So the Papa's objection to Rabba and Rav Sheshish's question on the Braisa still works. We can still say that after all, Rebbe holds like Abba Shoal, and therefore still make the Braisa work. So the Braisa would be saying, therefore, that Me'ila has a chumra over Chelev and Dam, namely that with Me'ila, a person is chayev if he does it b'shoigig, even for less than a kazayas, as long as it was a pruta. And therefore it has a certain chumra over chaylev and dam. Therefore, we couldn't have learned from them that you don't bring a korban like you do by them from mezid. And therefore, we need the pasuk for chata b'shgaga. Okay, but in any case, the point is that we see the reason why the Gemara brought this in is to show that a papa changed his mind. But while we have the braisa at hand, and we were asking, what does the braisa mean? When it's first the Braisa started by saying that Kores is more stringent, and then it's saying that Misibidei Shemayim is more stringent. So which is it? And we answered that it's not really talking about Misibidei Shemayim per se. We're talking about more than a Kazayas or less than a Kazayas, or according to the Papa's question, maybe more than a Pruta and less than a Pruta. But now, while we're at it, the Gemara wants to bring other answers, other ways of understanding the Braisa. He says that the Braisa that we quoted before is actually, there was a mistake in it. Before we would say, all this time we were saying there's not really a mistake in it, just when it said that, when it used the expression, Me'ila Shechiyav Bamisa, we meant that there's a certain case where there's a Chiyav Nisa in Me'ila where there isn't in the other ones, namely if it's less than a Kazayas or less than a Pruta. But now, Ma Brei D'Rabina is going to, Brei D'Rabana is going to say that actually there was a mistake in the Braisa. Hochi Karma. Loi, Uma Marta B'Shar Mitzvahs. He says, the Braisa is saying, if you're trying to bring a Gzeira Shava, not a Gzeira Shava, a Kava Chomer, from other Isurim to Me'ila, and say by other Isurim, you don't bring a Korban, even if it's Bemezid, so therefore automatically you shouldn't buy Me'ila, and you don't need a Pasuk for it. No, what the Braisa actually meant to say was, Hachi Kamar, Loi, Ima Marta B'Shar Mitzvahs, it's one thing when it comes to other mitzvahs, where there's a chi of kares or a chi of chatas, shaloi also behen she'ein miskaven kemiskaven. By other things which are chayev kares, we don't find that if somebody does it without kavana, that it should be the equivalent of doing it with kavana. Meaning, when it comes to Hilchas Shabbos, when it comes to she'im niskaven lach tochas atolush, if a person intended to cut a vegetable that was detached from the ground, and instead he cut a vegetable that was attached to the ground, shapater, then he's potter, because then we need melechas machsheves. We need melechas machsheves. He needs to be intending to cut something that's attached to the ground. And there you don't have it. So and you see that he's potter. How do you compare to Me'ila? If a person intended to warm himself up, let's say, with wool shearings of chulin, and instead he picked up wool shearings of an oila, and he warmed himself with them, Shamal, he committed Me'ila, even though he didn't mean to. So, in other words, it actually explains that when it comes to Shabbos, again, we say Melechus Machsheves, Osra Torah, other mitzvahs, also you have a concept called Pratlam Misasik, that by many Isurim you have that if a person is Misasik, like a person is just moving his hand to something unintentionally and doing it, then he's not Chayev. But by Me'ilah, we don't find any such thing, so therefore he'd be Chayev. Now, we did learn back on Daf Chaf Vav, we had the sugya about Efshir V'loy Mechavin, Loy Efshir V'loy Mechavin, etc., where we said that if a person does not intend to have Kavana from Hekdesh, then he's not Moyel. The difference is over there, we're talking about where it's not a psik ratio. We mentioned over there that Tosfos discusses that if it's a psik ratio, then you have more of an issue. There, the case over there was that you're having Hana from Hekdesh, but it's not inevitable that you will. Over here, we're talking about that you're having Hana, and you are actually, there's no way that you're not having Hana from these Gizei Tzema. You just picked up the wrong ones. So we see that there's a certain Chumrah of Me'ilah over other Isurim Shabbat Torah. Tosfos actually learns the scenario different than Rashi. If we're talking about that he intended to cut this vegetable, which was already detached from the ground, and he cut instead that other one, which is still attached to the ground, then of course he'd be potter. In fact, even if you intend to cut one vegetable which is attached to the ground, and you cut a different one which is also attached to the ground, you're also potter, because your machshava wasn't accomplished. So therefore, Tosfos says what we mean is that you thought that this vegetable was detached from the ground, and you cut it, and then you realize it's actually still attached to the ground. So the point is, again, by Shabbos, we would say it's potter. By the parallel case, by Me'ilah, where you thought maybe that these Gizei Tzemer were from Cholin, and it turned out that they were Gizei Oila, then you'd be chayev from Me'ilah. So therefore, so my bread that Abana says, that's what the Braisa is pointing out, the Chumrah of Misa of Me'ilah over Chelev and Dam and what have you. Not like we were saying before, the difference about Kazayas or less than a Kazayas or Pruta or less than a Pruta, but rather the fact that by Me'ilah you can be Chayev in a way in which you wouldn't be by other Isurim, namely where you meant to do this one and you did that one. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says that's not really something that the Braisa should be mentioning, because actually the truth is with other mitzvahs, if you meant to pick up one piece and you picked up another piece, it would actually be considered Melechas Machsheves. Only by Shabbos is there a miyut that not, because Melechas Machsheves also Torah. We don't really have that by other mitzvahs. So therefore, sort of Marbre de Rabbana's explanation is not really valid, says Rav Nachman Yitzchok. So he says, Hachi Kamar. Rather, the Braisa means like this: Loi imamarti b'shai mitzvahs. You can talk about how it is with other mitzvahs, for example, chelav and dam, shekein lemischayev behem she'ein misasik kimisasik. Where there you have, if a person is not misasik, then he's not chayev like misasik. Meaning Rashi says, if you have, he wasn't actually picking up anything, and he ended up doing the isser, is not comparable to the case where he's misasik, where he intended to do a heter and instead did an isser. For example, with Shabbos, he's not even trying to do something. He's not even trying to do the same action. He intended to pick up something which was detached from the ground, and instead accidentally he cut something that was attached to the ground. Shapotter. So there we would say he's potter. That wouldn't even be misasik because it's not like, at least when he was trying to cut one and then he cut the other, then we would say he was misasik. He was involved in cutting and he accidentally cut the wrong thing. Or like Tosfos says, it was the same thing and just he misunderstood and thought that it was not attached and really it is. Here we're talking about he didn't even intend to cut at all. So then he would be potter even by other Isurim. Toma b'me'ilah. So how do you compare with me'ilah? So is the Braisa is saying, says Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Shim hoshit yodi l'kli lito chayfetz. Suppose a person stuck his hand into a keli intending to take something out of the keli. He's not even intending to do anything involving smearing oil on his skin at all. V'soch yodi b'shemen shor kodesh. And it had, and there was oil of kodesh in there, and he had it now applied to his hand. Shamal, he still committed me'ilah. So even though he had no intention of doing sicha at all, the fact that he ended up doing sicha makes him chayev. So it's more comparable to the case where he didn't intend to cut any vegetable at all. He only intended to pick it up and accidentally he cut a vegetable. And it turned out that vegetable was attached to the ground. That's what the Braisa is saying, says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that there's a chumra in Me'ilah that you don't find with other Yisurim Shabbat Torah, even where he wasn't intending to do this kind of maisa at all. Okay, so we have a few different ways of understanding the Braisa. The Braisa that Rav Nachman Yitzchak was bothered by, that first was saying that Kores is stronger, then we're saying Misa B'dei Shemayim is stronger. The answer is that's not what the Braisa is saying. Either it's talking about Kezias versus less than a Kezias, or Pruta versus less than a Pruta, and saying that Me'ilah you chayev even for less than the Shear, and Chelev and Dam you'd be chayev only for the Shear. Or Mabre de Rabbana's answer that by other mitzvah, by other isurim, ein miskaven is not the same as miskaven, whereas by me'ilah, it doesn't matter whether you're miskaven or not, either way you chayev. And Rav Nachman Yitzchok is saying it's more than miskaven, it's by me'ilah, you chayev even for misasik, or even for ein misasik, even if you're not actually involved in trying to do this particular action. There is, by the way, a concept the Gemara mentions in Krisus that by certain isurim, a person is chayev for misasik. For example, if a person ate chelev or dam, then he would be chayev because at least he had anah from it, even if he didn't intend to actually eat it. So we do have to be talking about in the Gemara over here, where again, he wasn't intending to eat it at all, and somehow it got into his mouth. So then we're saying by me'ilah, he would still be chayev, whereas by chelev and dam, he'd be potter. Eventually, right, but if he didn't even intend to put, at least if he intended to put food in his mouth and it turned out to be chaylev, then yeah, he'd be chayev. That's misasik. Misasik b'chalov and b'arayis actually is the expression that if a person is misasik in chaylev or in arayis would be the same thing. He's intending to do an act of be'ilah and he ends up doing with an erva. So then he's nene. But if he wasn't even intending to do the action at all, that's what Rav Nachman Yitzchok is saying over here. He'd be potter. Whereas or maybe not actually, I mean, Rav Nachman Yitzchok is focusing only on Shabbos over here and mentioning the example where he didn't intend to cut and he cut. Maybe you could say, okay, maybe you would say Bechelev and Dam again, Misasik is Chayev. So maybe, no, but over here, the thing is in Rav Nachman Yitzchok's expression, he's saying She'ein Misasik is not like Misasik. So even though there are areas such as Chelev and Arayis where Misasik is Chayev, but there's a case where Ein Misasik, he's not even intending to do that action and therefore he's Potter, as opposed to by Me'ilah, he'd still be Chayev. So if you lean back on Shabbos, for sure not, because Malachas Machsheves also a Torah, because the Torah only answers a Malacha that you intended to do. So therefore, yeah, it might be also Drabanan, but it might be also Drabanan, but yeah, there's no Chiyuv D'Oraisa if you didn't intend to turn on the light switch. Yeah. Yeah, that's one possibility. Maybe somebody drops it in his mouth. Another possibility. Maybe. Okay. I don't know. All right. Fine. Now let's get back to before on Daf Lamed Beis. We talked about that. In our Mishnah at the bottom of Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis, we had the din where a person eats Trumas Chometz for Pesach, and we said there's a difference whether he does it B'Shoigig or B'Mezid. B'Shoigig, we said he's Chayev to pay, and we said there's two major ways of understanding that. One is that chametz for Pesach is also ba'anah, but you pay according to midah, you pay according to the size of it, and it had a size, therefore you're still chayev to pay as kapara. Or the other way of understanding is that maybe we're saying that true that chametz is mutter ba'anah on Pesach, like Rabbi Yisrael Glili, but we would be saying that if he does it b'mezid, then he's potter from paying, because we would say like Rabbi Nachuni ben Akana kamalei b'derab minei when he's mezid. So then in that connection, we said, Omamar, when is this talking about that? We said that when do we say that this din of Trumas Chometz for Pesach applies? Only if you've separated Truma and then it ended up becoming Chometz. So then we can talk about whether it's Mutar B'Hanah or not, and what the din are if a person eats it on Pesach. Aval Hifrish Chometz Truma, but we said if a person separates the Truma to begin with as Chometz, Divrei Hakol Einik Kedosha, everybody agrees that it's not Kodesh, and therefore the dinim of eating truma b'shoigig or b'mezid don't apply to it. So minahani mili, where do we know that from? Why shouldn't it be considered truma? Yes, it's chometz, it's also b'hanah, sure, but why shouldn't it be considered truma? Which, by the way, if we say ein kedosha, also means There's actually some discussion among the Achronim. Does that mean that we would say, therefore, that the produce or the dough or whatever that you took this truma from, that you took this truma or challah from, maybe it still remains tevel, or maybe the whole concept of tevel doesn't apply to it because it's chametz. It'd be a nafkamina. Then, for example, we're going to talk on Omer Beis. Are you allowed to have hana from tevel? A person eats tevel, is chayv misa b'dei shemayim. So does that apply? Tevel is food that ma'aser, that truma and ma'aser hasn't been taken from, right? So we're saying that truma is enik dosha. Does that mean the food still has the status of tevel, or does it mean the food b'chlal there's nothing to talk about tevel or not tevel in this connection because we're talking about chametz of Pesach? Yeah. Well, right. Anyway, right. Right. Okay. So menahani mili. So where do we know that if a person separates truma, which is chametz, on Pesach, that it doesn't take effect? So the answer, Omer of Nachmanitz, Omer Kro, Titen Loi. The pasuk says about truma, you should give it to him, meaning the kohen, meaning v'loy la'oira. You're not giving the kohen the truma where the only thing he can do with it is burn it. So even if the only thing you can do with it is burn it, and trumas chametz pesach, according to most opinions, you can't even do that, because you can't have enough from it, then therefore it's not considered valid truma. However, masiv Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, we learn in a Mishnah, ein tomin minatmei l'tahora, you're not allowed to take truma from tomei fruit on behalf of tahor fruit. The im tarim b'shoigig truma say truma, but if the person did it b'shoigig, then it's still valid truma, even though that truma that he took off is only able to be used to burn. V'amai, now why is that? Leima loy v'loy la'oroi. By the logic that you're saying over here, titin loy v'loy la'oroi, it shouldn't work. It shouldn't work because the only thing the kohen can do with it is burn it. The answer is loikasha, hosam hoisale shasa kosher, hocha loy hoisale shasa kosher. Because the difference is, in that case that the Mishnah is talking about, is a case where it had a shasa kosher, there was a time when this produce was tahor, then now it became tomei, now you took the tomei part and separated it out as truma on behalf of the tahor part. So then we're saying, lachtchila, you shouldn't do that, but if you did it b'shoigig, then fine, it's acceptable. As opposed to, or the brisa that we brought on Daf Lamed Beis, where we said that if he separates trumas chometz, that it doesn't take effect, is where it didn't have shasa kosher. There was no time when this thing was not chometz, ever since it became chayiv and truma. So the question is, so what would be the scenario? How do you have produce which is chometz from when it became chayiv and truma? Would have to be kugund achmetz b'mechuber. That would have to be, it became chametz while it was still attached to the ground. How does grain become chametz when it's still attached to the ground? So actually, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions that once the grain is completely ripe, if rain falls on it, a lot of rain, then you may have a problem, because once it's already fully ripe and it doesn't really need to be attached to the ground anymore, it's ready to be harvested, at that point, if enough rain falls on it, it can become chametz. So we're not talking about if there's a drizzle or something, but we're talking about this is part of the idea. When we talk about that matzah has to be grown from wheat that was washed mishas ktsira, that includes that also, that you have to make sure that before it was harvested, that there wasn't a huge rainfall that got it wet. Because if it did, now there are Rishonim who say that maybe only that applies if we see they became so wet that they split open while they're still attached. But the idea is, in other words, that even while they're attached, it is still possible once they're fully ripe for them to become chametz. So that's why you have to harvest them as soon as possible after that. Yeah, because otherwise, yeah, you can have other ones. No, it's not chametz for Pesach, because they harvest the wheat long before Pesach. They harvest the wheat for matzah during the summer usually. But still, the point is, once it was fully grown, then it can become chametz, even though it's still attached to the ground. So as soon as the farmer finds that it's completely ripe, as soon as possible after that, he has to harvest it. No, it has nothing to do with kiyutan, because that has to do with being machshor lekabel truma. Here we're talking about it becoming chametz. Think of it. There's no difference something becoming chametz whether you wanted it to become chametz or not, right? Yeah. So anyway, so that would be only if it was only if it happened b'mechuber, because as long as it's mechuber, then it can't be truma. Aval achnetz betolush, but if it became chametz after it was detached from the ground, hachi nami dekadsha. So are you telling me then that the Braisa is implying that in that case that would be considered valid truma, because it would be like if he did it b'shogeg, because it would be like the case in the Mishnah in Trumas over there where he was where he took truma minatome ala tohur, and we would say b'diavad it works. Amalei ein. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok says yes. And in fact, he quotes a pasuk in this connection. He quotes a lashon pasuk from Daniel. The gzeiras irin pisgama. By the gzeira of the awake ones is this matter. In context, the pasuk is talking about the malachim. It's talking about a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had and how it's been decided by the Beis Din Shamayla of the malachim that Nebuchadnezzar was going to be punished. But the Gemara uses it as a turn of phrase to mean, in other words, that this is the malachim are the Talmid Chachamim. We find in a number of places in Shas. Yeah, that was him. But yeah, this is something else though. But yeah, this is he had a dream about a tree. No, he had a tree. Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream where he saw a gigantic tree. A malach comes and says, chop down the tree and leave the stump of it tied up in chains to the ground. And it's going to be there for a long time like that, et cetera, et cetera. And Daniel explains to him that it means that you, Nebuchadnezzar, are going to go crazy and run off to the forest and live with the animals until you realize that the Eibishter runs the world and not you. So, and he actually eventually realized, yeah. Anyway, so the point is, the Pasuk uses this expression, b'gzeiras irin pisgama, by the gzeira of the awake ones is this matter, umeimar kedishin she'elta, and by the word of the holy ones is this question, meaning Rav Nachman Yitzchok is using that as a turn of phrase that the malachim over here represent the chachamim. We know in many places in Shas, the term chachamim are compared to malachim. So in other words, that yes, this is something that the Chachamim have figured out. They paskin in the Beis Medrash, like what I'm saying, that there's a difference whether it had a Shas HaKosher or not. Now, in terms of Chametz, there's not really a difference because there's not really a difference. Tosfos points out that this whole discussion over here is really only if we say that Chametz of Pesach is Mutar Bahana. So therefore, you can talk about whether he has the ability to have enough from it by burning it or not. We say Chametz of Pesach is also Mahana. It's not really Negei LaHalacha. However, it would be Negei LaHalacha in a similar case where the grain became Tomei before it had a Shasa Kosher to become Truma. Namely, that would be if the person who harvested it was already Tomei and his hands were wet, for example, and therefore, as soon as he picks the grain, as soon as he harvests the grain, right away the wetness makes, right away they become Mukhshar L'Kabel Truma and they immediately become Tomei from his hands. And Rav Nachman Yitzchok is saying that, yes, in that case then, the separating Truma from it wouldn't be valid. Whereas if it became Tomei afterwards, then yeah, that's when the Mishnah in Trumas is saying that if you did b'shoigig minatomei alator, then b'dievet it's fine. There is an interesting point that some achronim talk about nowadays that all our produce is truma, and therefore yeah, as soon as you harvest it, it becomes Tomei.
Wait a second.
Maybe. No, I didn't say truma. I said all our produce is Tomei. We're all Tomei mess, and as soon as we touch it, it becomes Tomei. So therefore, maybe there's less of a chiyuv nowadays, even in Eretz Yisrael, to separate out truma based on what the Gemara is saying over here. Again, if we say that it means not only it's not valid truma, but therefore the produce itself doesn't really have the status of tevel yet, then maybe in that case, then maybe you shouldn't need to separate truma. Well, Meiser in Eretz Yisrael, I mean, they do separate truma and Meiser from their produce, and then of course the truma can't be eaten because we're all Tomei. So either it has to be. No, it can't go to poor Kohanim because it's still Tomei. However, my understanding of it, right, but nevertheless, they're still not allowed to eat Truma Tomei. But as I understand it, what they do, one thing, we've learned in this Gemara and in other Gemaras that one thing you can do with Truma Tomei is you can feed it to animals. So I'm given to understand that maybe that's what they do nowadays is they feed the Truma Tomei to animals in Eretz Yisrael, and that way they deal with it that way. Yeah. No. This is a truma is every year. Truma is every year except Shemitah.
Well, the okay. Animals are Kohanim.
Yeah. Okay. And no, it would have to be that the animals belong to the Kohanim. So okay. So you have animals that belong to the Kohanim. Okay. Anyway, continues the Gemara. Ki osir of Huna breder of Yeshua. When of Huna breder of Yeshua. Okay. When one possibility is they can be makna the animals to the Kohen. For example, you have, let's say, the Jerusalem Biblical Zoo, for example, where you have a whole zoo full of animals. They can be makna those animals to the Kohen, and then they can feed them the Truma. Yeah. Okay. Next, ki osir Rav Huna b'rei d'Rishua. When Rav Huna b'rei d'Rishua came from wherever he came from, usually ki osir means when he came from Eretz Yisrael. But we don't find really that Rabbi Huna b'rei d'Rishua did that. And in fact, on the side over here, it says that maybe the ki osir doesn't belong over here. That maybe it's just Rav Huna b'rei d'Rishua Omar. That Rav Huna b'rei d'Rishua says there's another reason why. There's another reason why there's it why if you mafush trumas chametz, why it doesn't work. Omakra rachis, because the pasuk says truma has to be rachis, the first, which implies shesh yareh nikorin liyisrael. That implies that there has to be the rest of it. Once you take out the truma, the rest of it is going to be mutter to yisraelim. So on the other hand, here it's not yatzazu shen shiyareh nikorin. Over here, all of it is going to be also because, after all, it is chometz. So that's another reason why. So nothing to do with the question of shasa kosher or not shasa kosher. It's just a matter of that truma is a special that chometz is a special case because since it's also afterwards, then you can't say shiyareh nikorin. So that's why if you take truma chometz, then it doesn't work. Achronim talk about the question. Actually, Julian Ashas over here, Rabbi Akiva Eger, says in that case, then what you could do is, so fine, what you do is, you have some chometz and some not chometz. So what you do is you designate the chometz as truma on behalf of the non-chometz. Let's say you have a pile of wheat. Some of it got wet and got split open. The rest of it did not. So according to what Rav Huna b'rei d'Rishua is saying over here, why shouldn't you be able to take the part that's chometz, designated as truma on behalf of the rest, and it's still shiyareh nikarin? The rest of it is mutter to everybody because not chometz. So Rabbi Akiva Eger leaves the question. Different Acharonim talk about answers on it. One answer that the Sfas Emes gives, which actually it seems to be that the question and the answer themselves can already be found in the Yerushalmi, is that when we say Shireh Nikorin, yes, we're saying over here in the Gemara that you have to have the rest of it has to be mutter to Yisraelim, but it also has to be that the part that you're taking out on Truma as Truma itself has to be mutter to somebody. And here it's not because it's Chometz. So that's why it doesn't work. Okay. So now we're going to start a new discussion having to do with truma that becomes tomei. So we're talking about truma over here that was tomei versus that was chometz. So now we're going to get into another discussion involving things that are tomei and relate it back eventually to truma that's tomei. So Yosef Rav Acha bar Rav Ivya kamei de Rav Chista. Rav Acha bar Rav Ivya was sitting in front of Rav Chista. The Yosef va'omam mishmei de Rav Yechanan. He was sitting and saying in the name of Rav Yechanan. By the way, we have this kind of expression that somebody Yosef and then v'Yosef v'omar. Why the double expression Yosef? So one explanation I've seen is that what it is he's sitting as a Talmud. Then when he wants to say something, for example, he wants to say the statement in the name of Rav Yechanan, he gets up to ask permission to say it. Then when he's given permission by the Rosh Hashiva, by Rav Chista in this case, then he sits down and says what he's going to say.
Where was it that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a junior in the Sanhedrin and he stood up and he was never a senior in the Sanhedrin for Dinin Nefashos because they...
So it doesn't say anything about standing up. The Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai in his younger years was a member of the Sanhedrin when they were still judging Dine Nefashos, but the Gemara doesn't say anything about him standing up over there. The Gemara just says that he came up with an idea. He came up he cross-examined Edim about that there was a murder that had taken place under a fig tree or something, and he asked them whether the stems of the figs were thick or thin. Because when it comes to bedikas, you can ask any kind of bedikas you want. So the Gemara mentions over there, the Gemara explains that this happened in his younger years. Therefore, he's still called Ben Zakkai rather than Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai, but it has nothing to do with standing up now. All right, anyway, let's go on. So V'yosef v'omam mishmei de Rabbi Yechon. So Rabbi Acha bar Rav Ivya was sitting and saying the following statement in the name of Rabbi Yechon. Anovim shenitmu, if grapes become tamei, and here we're not talking about truma, nothing, we're talking about regular chulin grapes. Durchan pochas mikabetza. What you can do is you can squeeze them out. You can step on them, which is how they used to squeeze out grapes in those days. Less than a kabetza at a time. The yenan kosher l'nesachim, and then the wine, the juice that comes out of it will not become tamei. will not become Tameh, and therefore you could use it even for Nesachim. Now, what it is like this. Rashi learns here and in a number of other places in Shas, any amount of food can become Tameh. There's no minimum amount for food to become Tameh. The Rambam also holds this way. On the other hand, Rashi brings here in the Sugya that Anisha Maiti, that I heard from other people that say that to be Makabal Tumah, also it needs Kabeitza. Tosfos also holds like that in a number of places in Shas, including here. To be Metameh other food, definitely you need a Kabeitza. So what you do is, in this case, you're squeezing out the grapes less than a Kabeitza at a time. Therefore, those Tameh grapes cannot be Metameh the juice. And therefore, the juice remains tahar, and therefore, you could even use it for nesachim. So the Gemara says, Alma kasavar. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan holds, mashkin mifkad pkidi. The mashkin, the juice, is in effect mufkad inside the flesh of the grape. It's not like it's embedded into it and it's considered connected to it. It's as if it's in a keli over there. So therefore, when the grape became tameh, the juice that is inside the grape didn't become tameh along with it. So, and Rashi adds also that it didn't become tameh from Tumas Mashkin either, because it was never considered a mashke, because since it's inside the grape, it's never yet considered a mashke until it starts coming out. So la'emas kamitami, when's the first time that these mashkim would be able to become tameh? L'chisachet lahu, only when he squeezes them and the juice comes out. Well then, and then at that point they're touching the flesh of the grapes. But l'chisachet lahu lasi l'shiure, then at that point you don't have a shiur because you're doing less than a kabeitza at a time, and less than a kabeitza of food is not able to be metameh other food. So therefore you're good. Yeah. However, the question is why then dafku? No, of course wine can become tameh. If you have, that's the thing, Rashi is explaining over here. You need a kabeitza of food that's tameh in order to be metameh other things, including liquids. If you did more than a kabeitza of grapes together over here, then as soon as the juice starts coming out, it would be touching the grapes. It would become tameh from them. No. We mean the flesh of the grape. We mean the solids of the grape outside of the juice. When we actually use the word zog, but the word zog just means the grape skins. But Papashtos, he means the whole flesh of the grape as well. Zog right there. Okay. So ihachi kabeitza nami. So the question is, in that case, why is Rabbi Yochanan saying that you need to do less than a kabeitza at a time? You should be able to do exactly a kabeitza. You measure out a kabeitza of grapes. Obviously, part of that kabeitza is made up of the juice. So the same thing. We find a similar thing in a Mishnah, that if a tomei mes squeezes exactly a kabeitza of before we were talking about that the question is the grapes are tameh, the grapes themselves are rishon l'tumah. Now we're talking about that the tameh mes himself, he's an avat tumah, he squeezes grapes and olives, as long as it's exactly a kabeitza, then it's fine, as long as the Mishnah, tahorim and their tahor, as the Mishnah continues over there, Rashi brings, uvil vad shel yiga mamashke. Now there are two conditions. He can't be touching the juice, and it has to be talking about how is he squeezing them. He can't be doing them with his hands or his feet, because then he'd be metame them as soon as he touches them. It has to be that he's using pshute clay eights. It has to be that, for example, he's using a flat wooden board on top of them, and therefore, so he's not touching them themselves. So therefore, so again, the only thing is that previously the tame touched the tame person touched the grapes or the olives before he started squeezing them. But by the time he starts squeezing them, you don't have a full kabeitza over there because the juice started coming out. Rashi, by the way, adds, even though we just said that the liquid that's inside of food is not makabel tumah together with it, but it can be mashlim the shiur. In order to make up the shiur of a kabeitza, the juice can be included in that shiur kabeitza. But when we talk about the juice becoming tameh, then we need that it actually starts coming out. So we're saying over there that if he does a kabeitza, it's fine. So why over here is Rabbi Yochanan saying it has to be less than a kabeitza? The answer is hosam di avad, because in that case we're talking about b'di'evad. That's where the word di'evad comes from. That di'evad. Yeah, if he did it. Over here, Rabbi Yochanan is talking about what he should do l'chatchila. So you don't want him to do a kebetza, gzeira, doma osi, l'mebed yosim, a kebetza, because of gzeira, then he might end up doing more than a kebetza. And if he does more than a kebetza at a time, then it is going to become tome, because as soon as the first drop comes out, you still have a kebetza of food over there. So therefore, the first drop becomes tome, because a kebetza of food is able to be metame other food. So in this case, the kebetza of grapes is able to be metame the juice. And then as the juice keeps on coming out, it's touching this first drop. Each drop touches the previous drop that was tame, and it's all going to become tame. So that's what we're saying. So l'chatchila he should do less than a kezayis, but b'dieved if he did exactly a kezayis, as long as he used a piece of wood, then it's still okay. If he does more than a kezayis, then it's not going to help us because then already you have the guy who was tame touched the grapes or the olives before he started squeezing them, so they already became tame. So now when the juice starts coming out, they're going to be metame. If someone else had put it down and only he's squeezing bapashtos, then it would be more. So that's what it is. There's a chila versus b'dieved. Carrying it doesn't. Well, he's not a zav. Exactly. It actually goes on to say, right, that a zav would be metame beheset. That's a different matter. Here we're talking about tommy mess. Okay. Okay, so that's what Rabbi Yechanan is saying, that as long as you squeeze it less than a kezayis, so if you squeeze a kebetza, then fine, it would be fine b'dieved. But l'chatchila, you should do less than it, like this. You should do less than a kebetza at a time, right? Tosfos, by the way, discusses an interesting idea over here. Even if we say, like, which Tosfos holds, according to their shita, that food can become tummy less than a kebetza at a time, but to be mukshul l'kabel tuma, you need a kebetza. So you'd be machshul the kabel tumah, then Tosfos saying you need a kebetza. To become tameh even less than a kebetza is fine, says Tosfos, not like Rashi and the Rambam, but to be metameh or the food, that for sure you need a kebetza. By the way, this machloikas about whether food can be kabel tumah less than a kezayis or not a kebetza, I mean, or whether you dafka need a kebetza, the Pnei Yeshua actually traces it to a machloikas tanoim. So even we're saying it's a machloikas Rashi and the Rambam versus Tosfos, but really the Pnei Yeshua traces it all the way back to a machloikas tanoim. Okay. Continues the Gemara, Amalei Rav Chista. So Rav Acha Breder of Ivya had said this statement in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that you squeeze them less than a kebetza at a time. But Amalei Rav Chista, Man Tzayis Lachol Rabbi Yochanan Rabbach, who is going to listen to you or to your Rebbe Rabbi Yochanan? How is it possible what you're saying is correct? Where did the tumah of these grapes go that you're saying that this wine is tahor and is kosher than a sachin? Which means, Alma Kasava Mashkin Mivlabli. What's the point? Rav Chista holds, not like Rabbi Yechanan, that the mashkin are mifkad pkidi, that they're just like in a container. He holds that they're balua, that they're embedded into the flesh of the grape. Therefore, in other words, when the grape became tamei, so did the juice inside it. So what do you mean? The juice before was tamei, and now you're squeezing it out, it's tahor. How is such a thing possible? The kivendi tamulei oichle tamulei mashkin. So therefore, Rav Chista says, as soon as the food becomes tamei, so does the mashkin that's embedded in it. So what are you talking about? You can squeeze it out, and it'll be tahor. Omele, sort of Achabed of Ivy says, Vatle Tisbara Damashkin Mifkat Kiddi. What you, Rav Chista, don't hold of this concept that mashkin are considered like they're just stored inside there, as if they were in a container separate from the flesh. Vatnan, what about the mission we just quoted? Tomei mes shesachat zeis manovim mechuvenes kabeitza tahorim. That if you squeeze exactly a kabeitza, it's still tahor. Iyamet b'shlema mifkad kidi. If you say that the juice is mifkad, that it's stored inside there, mishumachit tahorim, then that explains why it's tahor. Eli amet mivabli amai tahorim. But if you say that it's embedded and it's considered part of the flesh of the grape, then why would it be tahor? Again, the problem would be is, didn't the grapes become tame when he touched them? So therefore, the juice also became tame, and yet the Mishnah is telling us it's Torah, and you're an Amora, you can't argue with a Mishnah, so what are you doing with that Mishnah? So Rav Chista says, because that Mishnah is talking about the grapes were not yet mukshal the kabel tumah when the tame mess touched them. La'emas miskashri, when do they first become mukshal the kabel tumah? L'chisachet lahu, when he starts squeezing them and the juice comes out, grape juice is one of the shiva mashkim, So therefore, it's machshel the kabel truma. Well, fine. Kisachet lahu batzel lahu mishiura. Batzel lahu shiura. Well, there you go. Once you start squeezing it out, then you have less than a shiur. So now you have less than a kabeitza. So again, we said the tummy mess has to be careful not to touch the liquid. The fact that he touched the grapes before doesn't matter because they weren't mukshal kabel truma. So now, as long as he's using a pshutik kleitz, then he's good. Here's where Tosfos says, like I just said, that we see from here that food is not mukshal kabel truma unless you have a kabeitza of it together. Tosfos is mentioning that.
But Rashi doesn't.
Rashi holds that b'chalal, for it to become tomei at all, it needs to be a kabeitza.
So he says both.
Oh, sorry, no, Rashi, no, sorry, Rashi, no. Rashi says, actually, that any amount of food is makabel truma min atorah. According to Rashi, we would have to say, Rabbi Yosef says in Tosfos, that even if we say that food can be makabel truma, less than a kabeitza, but to be mukshel makabel truma, you need a kabeitza. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that becomes mokshu as soon as you start squeezing it. But at that point, you don't have a kabeitza together because he's doing a kabeitza exactly, and therefore he's doing exactly a kabeitza. And as soon as he starts squeezing it out, then you have just less than a kabeitza of food and a drop of liquid. Therefore, it's not mokshu lekabel truma. So again, according to Tosfos, that food can't even be mokabel truma less than a kabeitza, then there's nothing to talk about. It can't be mokabel truma at this point. But according to Rashi and the Rambam, that it could be mokabel truma less than a kabeitza, but still, to be mokshu lekabel truma, Tosfos is saying Rashi would have to agree that to be mokshu lekabel truma, you need at least a kabeitza. Okay. De'iloi temahachi. And in fact, Rav Chista says, you have to say that that's what it means. Because if you didn't say like that, if you said that the juice is mifkad pkidi, that it's considered as though it's just stored inside the grape, Rav Chista is going to prove his point. Why am I saying it has to be that it's balua? Because otherwise, hodetanya, what about what we learn in a braisa? Hola maza doima, the braisa continues. What is this like that... Now here's where we're relating this back to the Gemara that we had before. Before on Daf Lamed Beis, when we were discussing the question of Trumas Chametz for Pesach, we said that we were discussing the question, can we say the person is chayav to pay for eating it? We had a discussion over there between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. And another discussion between Rabbi Lezman Yaakov and Rabbi Lozo Chisma. And we mentioned over there, Rabbi Akiva had mentioned, the fact is that the Koyan has no Hana from this Chometz Pesach because it's Chometz. So therefore, he says it's similar to Truma of berries and grapes, where the even during the year, if they're Tomei, the Koyan can't eat them and he can't burn them either because they're liquidy. So now in that braisa, so we said holamaza doimer l'trumas tusin zeisim anovim shenikma. If the truma becomes tomei, she'ein lebolei heter achila v'lei heter asaka, where you can't eat it and you can't burn it, and therefore Rabbi Akiva draws an analogy from that to trumas chametz or pesach, where you can't be mechayev him to pay for it if he ate it on pesach because there's no heter hana in it, so the kohen's not losing anything. So now says Rav Chista, if you're going to say that the juice inside the berries or the grapes is considered mifkad pocket, it's considered as though it's stored in there. What do you mean? Ha heter achila nami isbe. You would have a heter achila in it. De'iboy dorich lahu pachas mikabetza. Because after all, you could squeeze them less than a kabetza at a time. The fact that we see that Rav Akiva doesn't say that, and he just says a blanket statement that trusim v'anovim, there's nothing you can do with them when they're tummy. You can't eat them. You can't burn them. Shows that you can't squeeze out the liquid, and according to him, and have it good. So if they weren't mukshal kabel truma yet, then yeah, you have a way out, which is what the Mishnah that we quoted before about the tummy mess squeezing them is talking about. But once they're mukshal kabel truma, then yes, and once they're mukshal kabel truma and actually became tummy, says Rav Chista, then yes, the juice in them also became tummy, and there's no way of making it tahor again. That's the point. Rav Chista is holding mashkin mivla bli. They're considered as though they're embedded. They're part of the flesh of the fruit. And therefore, when the flesh becomes tomei, so does the juice. When it wasn't mukshal kabel truma yet, then you have the way out with the tomei mess using the piece of wood. Because when he touched the grapes, he wasn't metame them yet. The first chance they have to become tomei is when they're mukshal kabel truma. Good, in this case, you have exactly a kabeitza. The first drop that comes out, you have less than a kabeitza of food. Less than a kabeitza can't be mukshal, therefore you're good. But if they were already moksha, the kabal tuma, and as once the grapes become, once the grapes do actually become tame, says Rav Chista, then the juice itself automatically becomes tame, which is why Rabbi Akiva was saying before that trumas tussin v'anavim, once there it's truma that became tame, then there's nothing you can do with it. As opposed to, according to Rabbi Yechanan's logic, you should be able to do something with it. You should be able to squeeze it out less than a kabetz at a time. Amar Rava, so Rava says that's not a valid contradiction, though, because you could say, yes, maybe on a deraisa level you could, but gzeira duma osibil hu de takala. But we make a gzeira that you shouldn't do them less than a kabetza, because after all, you might eat from them while you're doing it. So Abaya says, what do we mean? Are we, who says we're concerned about takola and such a thing? After all, we learn in a braisa that you're allowed to burn bread or oil of truma that became tuma. You're allowed to burn it as firewood or in a lamp or something. And we see we're not concerned about that you might eat it. Amalei. So he answers, because what you do is, like we learned at the end of the first perek, you make sure to make it something that you're going to know not to eat. Pas zorek lebena etzim. With bread, what you do is you throw it among your firewood, and that way it becomes disgusting, and then you're not going to come to eat it. Shemen shal truma romalei beklimos, and oil of truma, like we learned at the end of the first perek, you put in a dirty keli, and that way you're not going to end up eating it. So we'll continue that discussion tomorrow, Best Hashem. But right now, Rava is saying that, yeah, midaraisa you would be able to do it. That's fine. But midrabanan you can't, which is why Rabbi Akiva is saying that, look, when it comes to trumas tussim v'anavim, there's nothing that the kohen can do with them if they're tamei, because midrabanan, we're not going to allow him to squeeze them out less than a kabetz at a time in order for them. So Rav Chista would say, I don't need any of that. Rav Chista would say, the fact is, the grapes became tamei, automatically the juice became tamei as well, and there's no way of making it tahor. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva is saying there's nothing you can do with it. Abaya is saying you can make it work according to Rabbi Yechanan as well, because Rabbi Yechanan would agree that d'rabbanan, you're not supposed to do that. Rabbi Yechanan had said that durchan pochas mikabetza, but midrabbanan, and if you do that, then the wine is kosher and asachim, but l'hatchili, you shouldn't be doing that because you might end up eating them. Okay, to be continued tomorrow, Rabbi Hashem.